score?
Yes, I have. I mean, I'm competing, though, so.
You're playing.
I don't compete.
You don't compete?
I don't compete.
The, I don't know if the notebooks back there are seats. They may be back there somewhere. Just check between Karen's notebooks or on the right side somewhere.
We're gonna do her Bible there.
Let's see if it's paper.
I mean, I can do it if you give me answers.
I figured it's back there somewhere.
So here's what I can see.
Okay. All right, we'll get started with our Bible drills. We're gonna do three for, up to, what is it, up to five? Is that right?
Ten.
Yeah.
Really?
One to ten.
One to ten?
One to ten.
All right, we're gonna do one to ten.
Is there anybody here? Okay.
I guess that makes sense, because under five, they're generally not reading. So. At least my kids don't read under five. But, in any case, they got my genes, so they're a little bit disadvantaged. All right, we're gonna be in Exodus, chapter number 34, verse 5. Exodus 34, 5. Amen. Very good. That's right. All right. Let's do 1 Samuel chapter number 14 and verse number 7. Skipping 21 or 22.
22.
She ain't 22 yet.
Okay, we're skipping 21.
She's got a couple more weeks.
You can skip 22.
There's nobody here today, 22.
Sarah, don't participate.
Obviously.
I love you. Matthew is the real.
Sarah, you let people beat you?
The real. I think Matthew is the real one that needs to be.
Who?
Matthew.
Oh.
I don't know, I think you can get one of me, I'm not sure.
All right, we got an 18 to 40. All right, I want to see some competition. Listen, y'all members of Shady Grove, ain't nobody sitting this out. I'm real, but we might have to go like do this nationally one day. We might go to some kind of like independent Baptist like conference where like, and I'm gonna be like, it's my church. I'm like, you see me, that's my people. And that day, we're not in competition with each other no more. We're in competition with the other Baptist churches.
The enemies.
Yeah. I'm going to be over there blowing trumpets and breaking pictures.
Praise God.
All right. 18:24.
18:40.
Deuteronomy chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Deuteronomy 12. I need to set this up just so I can show y'all off. I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna tell the candidate. I'm like, let's have a battle all the way out. Yeah, fun time real camp. We go to camp. Yeah.
They
come
free, make a
Bible drill. Hey man, that Mount Calvary, they got some little girls up there, it's pretty fast too. That one little redhead girl plays piano, she's crazy. She gets on that. She does. All right, let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 4.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words and power, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power.
Verse number 8. Good job. All right, now Glenn, you are on your own, ain't you? In the 61 up category?
Yeah.
He said he knows.
Little bit beyond.
Well, I tell you what, hey, listen, you're still gonna get points, brother, because you was faithful, you were here.
That's right.
And so we are gonna give you yours to read. Here you go. Let's do John chapter number 3 and verses 17 through 19. Verse 17, 18, 19. You read all three of them, that's 3 points.
Well, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Amen. Very good. All right, good deal. I appreciate that. Now we're going to do three for everybody. It's a free for all. Psalm 37 and verse number 20. Psalm 37 and 20.
But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be at the back of the lands. They shall consume and smoke, but that shall they destroy.
Yes. All right. Mark chapter 1 and verse 44.
And say unto him,
yes. All right. Let's do Acts 17 and verse number 22. Acts 17, 22. Very good. Very good. All right. Amen. Well, we have included that. I'm in clutch this morning. Did y'all see me spill my water everywhere this morning? Did anybody notice that? Was y'all paying attention? Well, at least y'all paying attention. See, sometimes I gotta beef up just to make sure y'all looking. Good thing it's water. That's why you don't drink sweet tea when you preach. You get sticky. All right, Miss Zoe, you can go first. You ready? Whenever you get done, just pass that one over.
Showing, I've got a yellow on. Tap it and see if it.
There you go.
Yeah, it's on. I know it's showing.
I have Luke 18:19. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God.
Is it 9? Let's try this one. Let's try blue again.
Which one you got?
Blue.
Blue.
Yeah. There we go.
I have Exodus 34:6, and the Lord cast by before him. And the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. I have Psalms 39:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid upon up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men.
Amen. Very good. Very good. All right. Good job, Miss Ovi.
How do we know God is good? We know God is good because goodness is a part of his nature. And he cannot contradict himself. And we see this in Numbers 23:19. And God is always good no matter what, as he's the standard and everything that is good.
Amen. Amen. Good job, Cooper.
God's Holy Spirit.
Yep, he's good.
God is good because God is what good is. He is the only example of good, therefore he is good. I have Psalm 119:39. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And this shows some attributes of God which are good. Judgment and mercy.
Amen. Amen. Very good.
Lord, died on the cross for our sins so we could be alive.
Amen.
What makes God good? I picked Psalms chapter 145, and I'm going to start down at verse 8. And I'm just going to read it because it's pretty self-explanatory. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. So he pretty much said it was. And his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and to the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
Amen. Amen. Very good.
So I have a few verses. Psalm 145, verse 9, which was already read, and Exodus 34, 6, which was already read. But I also have Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And I have Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we know that God is good because it says so in his word, and we know his word is true because he is a truthful God. We see this in John 1:1 and John 17:17. But not only do we read about God's goodness, we experience it too. He is so good that he created us with free will and continues to love us and want us when we fail him. He is so good that he walks with us every moment of our lives, whether we're facing trials and temptations or not. He's so good that we're constantly blessed even when we fail him. And he's so good that he made the ultimate sacrifice so that we wouldn't have to pay the price of going to hell for our sins. The way that I know more than anything that God is good is because he doesn't give me what I deserve. I deserve to go to hell because of my sin, but God loves me so much that he made a way for me to go to heaven. He shows me grace, mercy, and love every day. He's so good that he shows these things to everybody because it's his will that everybody gets saved. He is just because he is good, and in his goodness, he gives opportunity after opportunity to accept his perfect, eternal, life-changing gift.
Amen. Amen. You got anything you want to say? I know you.
I have Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And he is good because even though we may go through trials and tribulations, he's working it to our good.
That's right.
So I was going to read Psalm 145, but some multiple people threw me these other my verses. So I instead just read some stuff about why I think he's good. We know he's good due to his grace and mercy for those that seek him out. He still finds punishment for those who turn against him and seemingly refuse his word. I don't think it's happenstance that this question was put at the time it was, because I think it's the best example of God's mercy and grace for what's happened in this country in the past month. Since Hurricane Helene, we have been seeing every part of the political communities throughout Western North Carolina. Within the minutes and hours after Hurricane Helene impacted the mountains of Western North Carolina, God's mercy guided the lost and inflicted folks of the nation to take themselves out of their community and were trapped in by the landslides. And throughout the following weeks, and continuing even now, they found strength for this work.
Yeah.
Only 48 hours after the hurricane impacted communities, the people seemingly wiped off the map, found themselves back in the churches that survived, and praising Him. Some buildings even partially destroyed. That's all the revival ever needed, and even if the rest of the country could see its grace through historically bad times, people want to play this song through it all.
Amen. Very good.
So I put God's faithfulness and unchanging character. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Also, Psalm 102:27 says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Also, he promises us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, Deuteronomy 31:8. And he promises to be with us through the trials of life. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And God uses evil and suffering in this world to draw us closer to Him. He works all things for our good, Romans 8:28. And God is eternal. And I've got 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I'm reminded that even though, you know, we can look at our life circumstances, they might not be good in our eyes, but I think keeping an eternal perspective, knowing that, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll have a glorified body and that He's working it for His eternal kingdom and for our good. And I've been able to see so many, just as a testimony, so many ways of God's goodness, that things that I wanted, you know, that He didn't give. And now I'm able to look back and see how He was working that all together for the good. And just, you know, through the flood, I guess, is the biggest kind of traumatic thing that we've experienced.
The first flood.
Second one was bad. but just because God, you know, He was faithful. He didn't deserve to save us that day. And to have every little detail and time and every aspect of that day work out. But He, you know, his mercy and grace was upon us that day. And, you know, I just remember being so much more blessed after the flood and the community. And He was just working all that for us. And I'm just so thankful for all the many things that He's done for me. And I don't deserve it.
Amen.
I have John 10:9-14. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and known and am known of mine. I believe God is good because he says he is.
Yeah.
I believe God is good because he's proven himself to be good. I believe even in God's judgment, first off, God is holy, and he is good in his holiness. But holy is the number one attribute of God, and in his holiness, he is good. He's good because even in the life of Job, as he allowed Job to go through those things, Job was still able to rejoice in the fact that the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Yeah.
But blessed be the name of the Lord, because Amen. God is worthy, he is good. No matter whether our circumstances are good or not,
right.
And Romans 8:28, all things work together. That's the good things, that's the bad things, and everything else. In the life of Job, you can see that at the end of his, after all that had happened to him, him sticking with God, God had given him more than he could have ever had because he trusted God and knew that God was good, and he gave God glory in his
world. Amen. Amen.
I got a verse that is real close to me in my heart. John 3:16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, to me, that's the best thing that I can say, that's the reason that God's good.
Amen.
He gave his only begotten Son. And I know for me, it would be hard for me to do that. But God, you know, I know that it hurt him to have to do it too, you know, for sin, you know. But he done it for the world, and I'm part of that world, so I know he done it for me.
Amen.
And then Psalms 103, why is God so good? I ain't going to read the whole thing, but it tells how God is so good to us. I'll just read a couple of verses. It says, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. It tells us there that his mercy is great, you know, towards us and all. And then another scripture, several times it says in that chapter that his mercy endureth forever. He's got mercy on us, and that's great love to me. That is great love,
Amen.
Having mercy on the world.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
There's a lot of things, the statements that have been made, there's a lot of verses that proclaim the goodness of God.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're just asked a simple question like that, how do we know that God is good? You got to be careful and not make an assumption about, well, what is good?
Yeah.
How do we know what that is? And it's real easy to just throw something out there. Well, you know, the Bible says God is good, for his mercy endures forever. Well, who said mercy is good? Like, how do we know that's the right thing?
Yeah.
You know, that's an assumption that we're making, and it is based on the fact that across the human race and all of history, there has been a universal standard of what good is, and that
right.
can be demonstrated. But who says?
Right.
How do you know? The way I explained it to my girls was this. I had to go to their teacher. I got me a ruler. I said, how do I know this is a football? And they kind of tried to answer, but they didn't really know how, and I didn't really expect them to, because, I mean, my oldest just now turned 12, this, you know, that's kind of. So I said, well, look, you know, there are a lot of rulers in the world, we realize that. You know, they're in every store, they're all over the place, they're manufactured in different places, so there are many rulers in the world with probably varying degrees of accuracy. But what if we pretend for just a minute that this is the ruler? It's not a ruler, it's the ruler.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you, how do I know this is a football? Because this is what tells me what foot is.
Yeah.
That is the real answer to how do we know that God is good. It's because God's character defines for us what good is.
Yeah.
We find out that mercy is good because God is merciful. We find out that long-suffering is good because God is long-suffering. We find out that grace is good because God is gracious. That's how we know what good even is. Otherwise, we are applying, you know, a measurement, and we don't know what the standard is. Right? God is the standard. That's been mentioned a couple of times. That was one of the things. C.S. Lewis mentioned this in his book, Mere Christianity. He said, you know, when I was an atheist, I had this fallacy that I was trying to say that there was no God because there was injustice in the world, and I finally had to come to the realization that I would not know what injustice was unless there was a God to tell me what justice was.
Right.
He said, I have no idea what a crooked line is until I have some idea of what a straight line is.
Yeah.
And so not only is that how we know that God is good because he is the standard of good, but it's one of the great evidences of the existence of God. As I said before, you can go throughout all time and you can go throughout any number of cultures, and the basic framework for what is good and what is evil, it's the same.
Yeah.
He pointed this out. He said, you go to any culture. He said they may have different laws in their culture about who a man can marry and how many people that he can marry. But in no culture is it acceptable for a man to just have any woman that he wants.
Yeah.
They said you go to a culture, and some cultures may have different rules about, well, you're allowed to take from enemies, or maybe you're not allowed to take from enemies. But in no culture is it acceptable to just go to anybody and take anything that you want.
Yeah.
There's a universal understanding of morality, and there's only one way that's possible.
Right.
Is if there is a standard that is outside of mankind, and that is what God is.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was talking about how, you know, God is the standard for everything that we know that is right and wrong, and he sets the standard for everything. I said, even our value system is based on God's standard.
Yeah.
Like what I mean is monetary value. Everything in the world, the monetary value is based on gold. It is. It has been since the beginning of history. It's been based on gold, a unit of weight of gold. That is how every single bit of monetary system has been valued throughout the entire. Why gold? Why not something else? Why has it always been gold? And you can come up with varying degrees of different answers as far as, you know, being able to, the rarity of it, being able to smelt it down, and being able to produce, you know, certain, you know, weights and, you know, consistent weights. But there's other metals and there's other things that have those same properties. So why is it gold? And the answer is because God told us about gold. In Genesis chapter 2, he says that. He said that the river that comes out of Eden, he said, splits into four heads. The first is Pison, which covers the land of Havilah. He said, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Why is that in there? Tell me another reason. Besides God saying, this is going to be your union. This will be your unit of monetary value. That's why he said it's good. I mean, what else would they use it for? They didn't have computers, they didn't have processors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't have electronics. So what else would they use it for? You know? So I always thought that was interesting. But yeah, every standard that we have comes from God. Amen. Go ahead, sorry. You got anything? Oh, okay. Where's the microphone?
Got it.
Amen. Amen. All right, well. I'll just be brief. I was kind of having sort of the same thought as Brother Glenn was. I was just going to read John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We talk about God being good. We can say that God is good even in hard times. God comforts us when we're going through difficult times and tribulations. Sure, he does. But for the Christian, we ought to be able to realize and know that God is good because we have our names written in the book of life.
Hey.
He even tells us not to rejoice over having supernatural powers such as being able to cast out devils and to command evil spirits. He says, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. And my name has been written there, not because I deserved it or earned it, but because God loved the sinful world enough to send his Son into the world to die in my place. Now, I don't know about you, but I could not think of something else that would be more good of someone to do for another.
Amen.
we base our value system, like he said, of what good is on God's character itself. And because of that, he has taught us that the ultimate form of showing that somebody's a good person is that they're willing to deny themselves and to do something for somebody else.
Amen.
The Bible says that God so loved the world. That tells me that it wasn't just for a select few, but it was for the entire world. That's how I know that God is good.
That's right.
He makes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. There is not a person, man, woman, or child out there today that God does not extend salvation to.
Right.
He has given that offer. The blood of Jesus has been shed for every single person that there is out there. And regardless of their sinful nature, regardless of my sinful nature and your sinful nature, whenever I see things happening, I had somebody ask me the question last week. They said, I want to ask you something. Said, why does God let things like this happen? Like what this storm went on up there. Said, you know, there's a lot of good Christian people up there that went right through that. And I said, that's not the question I ask myself. I said, the question I ask myself is why doesn't it happen more often?
Yeah.
And why doesn't it happen to me? Because this is the truth I know that I deserve. And you know that you deserve it.
Amen.
Because we're wicked. And that's just the nature that we have is a wicked nature. But God, he has a good nature.
Yes.
And because he has a good nature, because he's good to us, he sent his own son to die in my place, in your place. The Bible says that he spared not his own son, Romans 8. And I've said this many times, I'll say it again. He spared Adam and Eve after he had said, the day you eat of this fruit, you should surely die. But they didn't die that day. I've said this before, the only time God does not fulfill his word is when he does it in mercy. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Ain't you glad of that?
Yeah.
He says, any time that I promise you something good, I will come through and I will do it. And he does.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes that he has stated that he will have vengeance. And he stays his hand. And he repents of the evil that he was going to do. It means he turns away from it.
Yeah.
It means he decides to have mercy rather than judgment. I'm thankful for that.
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
And so that is another just proclamation of his character of goodness. And so whenever we consider how that we are sinners, and that he was willing to spare Adam and Eve, being like us, they wasn't no worse off than we are.
Right.
Realize that.
Right.
You and I would have done the same thing. You say, well, I would have done that. You do it every day.
Yep.
You do it every day.
Yep.
You know what is wrong, and you do it every single day.
Yeah.
And yet here's God, all-knowing, having all that knowledge, and spares you. The Bible says that he spared Noah. The Bible says Noah was a just man, righteous man. He was just, he was perfect in his generations. But he wasn't Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Matter of fact, God knew that Noah was going to go have a little pity party.
Right.
After God had saved him and chose him to repopulate the earth.
Yeah.
He goes and he's like, well, I'm just going to get drunk.
Yeah.
That's what he done.
Yes,
he went and he laid out drunk and passed out naked. You know what? And one of his children ended up being cursed because of it. And I know that Ham committed sin, but he wouldn't ever have the opportunity had Noah not got flat out drunk and passed out.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We see that God took Abraham and he spared his son Isaac. Whereas Isaac could have never paid for any sin.
Right.
He would have been no better than a sheep or a goat.
Right.
He would have been no better. However, God spared him. And he sent one in his place.
Yeah. Right.
That ram that had its horns hung with him. Much like that he sent Jesus in our place. So we see how that he spares us. But it says that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for you and I.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. This is how I know that God is good. That no matter what I go through in this life, no matter how difficult things be, no matter what kind of tribulations I face, no matter if I'm in sickness or if I'm in pain, I know this, that I'll never have to answer for my sin.
Yeah.
I'll never have to die and go to hell. Matter of fact, I'll never die. The Bible says that. Bible tells me that I will continue to live. Yes. But the moment I close my eyes and this body is dead, that I'll open my eyes and that hour I will be with the Lord. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no purgatory. There is no such thing as you just laying there dormant, not knowing what's going on. And he says they sleepeth. He's talking about the bodies themselves that are intended to be raised and glorified. But to be absent part of your spirit, your consciousness will be present with the Lord.
Hey.
It says we are passed from death unto life. That's what's been purchased for me. And it was purchased with a heavy price. That was by the most precious substance that there ever was.
Hey.
What would you do to bargain with someone if they had kidnapped one of your loved ones, one of his kids? Would you not give them everything that you had? I mean, think about it. You say, well, I'd kill them. I'd do. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do too. But if I couldn't get to them, I'd give them everything I had.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
If they had one of my loved ones, that's them, I'd give them everything I had. I'd give them my land. I'd give them every gun I had. I'd give them everything I'd ever collected. I'd give them my dirt bike. I'd give them everything.
Yeah.
For that loved one.
Yeah.
If I had gold and diamonds and if I had any money in the bank, I'd give it to them.
Yeah.
It'd be priceless. Guess what? What are you going to barter with God for? Mm-hmm. What are you going to offer God? Mm-hmm. That same thing I said that he set up as a value system, that goal, he says where he's at, that's just paying him to.
Yeah.
Y'all was here this morning, but Clint didn't get to hear us. I'm going to say it again. He's like, up there, this is what he says. He says, when you walk in, he says, go ahead and wipe your feet off on that goal before you come in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how valuable that is to him.
Yeah.
Understand this. When he said, I believe that whenever he says that the streets are paved with gold and the walls of jasper and all this, I don't believe that that's necessarily so much to describe to us the splendor of heaven as it is to describe to you the splendor of the value of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That he's counting all those things as nothing but building material.
Yeah.
And he said the main attraction is the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And there was a substance that's greater and more valuable than anything. There is a substance that God values. There is a substance that's more valuable than all the universe and all the gold and all the diamonds and precious jewels. And that is the blood of the precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Whenever he shed that blood for my sins and your sins, the God of creation, the one who knows all and sees all, he don't see my sin no more. He don't see your sin no more. Why? Because the blood has been presented. That is the most valuable thing there ever was in this universe. And that is a payment that God accepts. So there was a precious price that was paid at Calvary. And so when the Bible tells me that God so loved the world, I want to say this, he'd give the most precious thing that there ever was for my stinking rotten flesh and for yours, that might be saved, that our soul would live on forever. And furthermore, that this body in which we've sinned, in which we've defiled, one day he said, I'll raise it up incorruptible. Yeah. I'll raise it up in perfection. He said, I'll raise it up in glorified. Hey, I want to say this, I've heard people say this a lot, and I don't know where they get this from. I've heard people say that God does not share his glory. That's not what the Bible says. Hey, I want to say this. I don't deserve it. And he ought not share it with anybody. I believe what they're saying. I know what men say when they're saying that. They're saying that you ought not try to glorify yourself. Amen. I believe in that.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I want to say this. One of these days, God's going to glorify a bunch of low down sinners.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be part of that crowd.
Yeah.
I'm going to be dressed in a robe of white. I'm going to stand and be in the image of Jesus Christ. I ain't earned it. I ain't deserved it. But the precious cross and the blood that was shed has purchased it for me.
That's right.
Said that whosoever would believe in will not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope that verse don't ever get old to you.
Amen.
I hope that verse don't ever get old to me.
Yes.
But that every day I can look to that. And that's all I need to know that God is good. Amen. Whenever you go through difficult times in your life, whenever the world tries to tell you, why would God let this happen? Why would God let these babies be murdered? Why would God let these people get away with murder and rape and all these things? Whenever you can see all that, hey, I want to say this, you just remember that that loving God, that He's let man have what he wanted. He said, man's fought with him, resisted him. That's why he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. He said, I've tried to wrangle them in, and I've tried to wrangle them in. He said, I'm going to give them what they want. You want to live and do what you want to, you go right ahead. But he said this, he said, I still love you. And he said, matter of fact, I love you so much that I'll send my own son and let him go and pay that price.
Amen.
But even though you've rebelled against me, and even though you've hated me and done all you could to put a shame to my name, he said, I'll redeem you if you'll come to me. I'll purchase you, I'll buy you. If you're willing to accept the gift that he offers through his son, Jesus Christ. Hey, he is a good God.
Amen.
I had Lynn read that earlier in the last them three verses. You know, I've heard it said a lot. If someone goes to hell, they've got nobody to blame but themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not as if I was smart enough to choose God.
Right, amen.
It's not as if that I was more intelligent than anyone else or anything else. But it's just simply this, that I surrender.
Yeah.
I said, God, I can't, and I know you can.
That's right. Amen.
I laid it down in front of him, and I said, Lord, it's out of my hands. The Bible says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm glad of that tonight. We got a good God. He said that the world was already condemned.
Yeah.
Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
The only thing in this world is keeping anybody from having eternal life with Jesus Christ, being in the kingdom of heaven, is that they have not accepted the gift of salvation. They might still do like I was and trying to earn it on their own. They might still be trying to fight against God. I've done that for a while too. And said, I don't need you, God. They might be following some other God that fits them better. Because they like to conform God to their lives rather than conform their lives to God.
Amen.
Whenever I was single and lost, I was reading back then, I remember reading about them Muslims, you know, because they had the war on terror going on and stuff. And I thought, you know, that seems like a pretty cool religion for me at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to fight and I like to do all kinds of other stuff they like to do. So I thought, you know, that might fit me pretty good. But that wasn't the God of the Bible.
Right.
See, there's a lot of folks that does that. Furthermore, they don't just do that and follow some other religion like Islam, or they might follow Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever fits their fancy. But sometimes people just take and say they're a Christian, or they say that they're something. Then they just twist it around and they say, well, we'll leave these parts out, or we'll have to add these parts in. And this don't mean this, it means this. They twist the scripture around and take it out of context.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're making a God their own image. They're doing the exact same thing that Aaron done. That's why the Bible says that Jesus didn't have to condemn anybody. The condemnation is because that we have not accepted him. That's the only reason anybody can be condemned, is if you don't accept Jesus Christ as Savior.
Hey.
That is the only path to heaven. That's how we know that God is good. Yeah. That he has offered that to every man and woman.
Yeah.
To have access to eternal life. Amen. Well, I don't do this normal foundations, but I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask you tonight, if this